5 News Talk 107.9. Raul Labrador is Idaho's Attorney General. He joins us this morning. Attorney General, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing quite well. Yesterday was a big day, I think, for the whole country, especially for women and girls who compete. And it's also a big day for Idaho. And I know that you were celebrating as well, and we'd just love to hear your reaction.
You know, yesterday's decision was a victory for common sense, fairness, and the countless girls and women who've been fighting this fight for the last few years. Neil, can you imagine 10 years ago, 15 years ago, us thinking, wow, what a great day that the Supreme Court actually made a common sense decision that boys should not be competing in girls' sports?
Well, yeah. Isn't it weird that we even have to litigate such common sense issues?
It's strange. You know, I had somebody the other day tell me, why are you fighting these fights? And I'm like, we're fighting these fights because people are trying to encroach in these sacred spaces. You have men trying to compete in sports. You have men trying to go into women's bathrooms. It's not our side that is encroaching on their side. It's their side just keeps creeping in and creeping in and creeping in. And the only way to litigate these things is to pass a law, and then people sue the state because the law, they think the law is unconstitutional, and we need to fight about these things. I wish we didn't have to spend our time doing these things. I wish common sense would prevail and that people would say, you know what, it's not appropriate for boys to be participating in girls' sports, for boys to be hitting volleyballs on girls' faces, for boys to be swimming, two laps faster than girls. It doesn't make any sense. That's why Title IX passed over 50 years ago. And I'm just glad that the Supreme Court so fit to stand for these women and girls that have been fighting this fight for a long time.
Earlier in the hour, I played a clip from Major Garrett at CBS News, and it almost felt like I don't know if he felt bad about the ruling, but he was talking about how in the late 1990s and early 2000s, gay marriage was settled law, that it was illegal in most states, but given enough time, there was what he called a cultural reevaluation, and then we ended up with Obergefell. As you read the decision from yesterday, how settled does this issue feel to you? I mean, a 6-3 decision is solid, but I'd love your take on how long-lasting this decision you feel will be.
So it feels very settled because if you look, there were two parts of the decision. Part one was the Title IX aspect of it, and all 9 justices, even the 3 liberal justices, said that the state was protected under Title IX. That Title IX allowed states to separate boys and girls in sports, and that there was no violation of the law when they did that, of the law. But then the harder question was the constitutional question, which was what we litigated. West Virginia litigated mostly the Title IX issue. We litigated the 14th Amendment issue. And 6 of the 3 justices said that our law did not violate the Constitution. And more importantly, when you read the dissent, they did not say that it did violate the Constitution. They just said that we didn't have enough information. Do you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It wasn't a really strong dissent like they do in some other cases. They just sort of said, you know, we haven't had enough time. The court is rushing this. We need more information. But they weren't vehemently opposed to the 6 in the majority. They just said, give us more time to get more information, more evidence about this. So I think it's pretty settled. I think in the polls, you see that this is in most states a 70-30 issue, an 80-20 issue. In fact, if you think about both Obergefell and Roe v. Wade, when Roe v. Wade passed over 50 years ago, when the court made that decision, that created a frenzy because the nation was so divided on that issue. The same thing with Obergefell, that the nation at the time was still pretty divided. So I don't think we're going to have any backlash. I asked my team yesterday if we were getting nasty calls, because, we get nasty calls all the time when a decision comes out that people disagree with. And I was surprised that we really didn't get that many nasty calls. So I think if you look online, Neil, most of the complaints are, why did we waste taxpayer money to fight this fight? So it's almost like the left knows that this is a bad issue for them, and they're just saying that we just wasted our time and taxpayer money fighting this fight.
And one of the comments, or at least I saw this strain of comment on social media, was that this affects so few athletes, and they cited there's only 10 or something, and there are more than that. But my reaction to that is, it actually affects every female athlete, because they'll be denied the chance for the trophy or the championship or just the win itself if they have to compete against a biological male.
So I have 2 points on that. Number one, if it only affects so few athletes, then why are we fighting this fight? Why are we fighting to allow boys to participate in girls' sports? So I turn it on them. If it really is, and I disagree with them, it's not just a few athletes, but let's assume that it really is just a few athletes, then let common sense prevail. Let the states decide. Let, parents decide that they don't want their girls to participate in these sports, and push the schools not to participate in these programs where boys are participating, and we shouldn't be litigating this. So their side is the side that is litigating this. It's not our side. We're not the ones that took them to court. They're the ones that took us to court. So I turn it on them. But I want to make really clear that it's not just about the girls on the stands, because we make a big deal about the girls who lost their medals or lost the opportunities to win a competition. I actually think it's more important for the countless girls who are never going to be on a stand, that, that they just participated in sports and they were given an opportunity to be on a team, to learn what athletics teaches you, which is team spirit, to work hard, to know that you're going to be rewarded for the things that you do. And many of these girls wouldn't make it on the teams if you were allowing boys to compete in girls' sports. And it's not the girls, only the girls that are going to be on the stands. It's the girls that just want to be on the team. I have a daughter who was in a very competitive league here in Eagle in volleyball. And she's worked so hard to get on that varsity team, and she was so proud of herself. And to this day, I was watching her just a few weeks ago. She's pregnant with her third child, and she's out there playing volleyball because volleyball was such a fundamental transformational experience for her. And she's out there just enjoying the day. And if she had a bunch of boys ahead of her who were preventing her from competing on the varsity team, she would have had a totally different high school experience.
Yeah, no, that is a great point. I did want to ask you this question, Attorney General, from a listener. We chatted a little bit about it prior to the on-air portion of this interview, but they said this: what's your understanding of the Fairness in Women's Sports ruling? Does this mean that Trump's EO is constitutional and all states have to follow the order, or is it a states' rights ruling and Idaho can implement our own laws, but other states can still allow trans in women's sports? I haven't heard it explained on any of the news shows I've watched. So can you give us some more light on that?
Yeah, so my understanding right now is that the ruling only applies, it's a states' rights ruling. It's saying that the state of Idaho and the 27 other states or 26 other states that have similar laws can pass these laws. But right now it doesn't apply to the states like California and Washington and Oregon that are allowing boys to participate in girls' sports. However, there's pending litigation in those states. There's litigation in those states where athletes are saying that it's a violation of Title IX to allow these boys to participate in girls' sports. I'm sure they're using the EO from President Trump. So that is yet to be litigated. But what I think will really happen is that that these schools from states like Idaho are going to put pressure on these other states and are going to say, look, our teams are not going to participate if you're allowing boys in your sports. You saw BSU last year say that they were not going to participate in some volleyball matches. And I think because of this ruling, I think common sense will prevail. If you remember, and I think people forget this because it seems like such a silly thing that we had to litigate, but 7 years ago when the Idaho legislature was passing this law, all hell broke loose. The NCAA said that they were not going to have any more competitions in Idaho. Businesses were saying that they were going to boycott Idaho. There was all this pressure to force Idaho not to pass this law. And at the time, it seemed like almost like society had completely lost its mind on this issue. And now you look at poll after poll after poll, and the vast majority of Americans believe that this is just common sense. So I do think in the end, common sense will prevail, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
I'd love your thought on just the overall journey here, because we actually had Representative Ehart in studio as the ruling, or at least moments after the ruling came down. And it was super cool to watch her reaction in real time, this law that she had sponsored and carried through the legislature. And then everything that happened after that, all of the litigation making its way to the highest court in the land. And she talked about how alone she felt at the very beginning, that she didn't really have a lot of allies. Of course, there were enough in the legislature to get it passed, and the governor did sign it. But then after that, it just grew. It was like the courage began with one person being bold and courageous, and then other people got behind her. And now we have over half the states that have legislation like this in place. And we have a decisive Supreme Court victory. It's really a pretty remarkable and inspirational trajectory of events, isn't it?
It is. And all it takes is one person to stand strong and to show courage. You know, you saw these female athletes that one by one, they stood up. I mean, think about these girls who were on a team, many of them in very liberal states, and they said, no, I don't want to participate. I don't want a boy in my locker room. These swimmers who said, I don't want to be changing my swimsuit in front of a boy. And they were treated like second-class citizens. They were made fun of. They were threatened. And they were the ones who stood up. And I remember, I don't know if you know this, but I was actually private counsel. So when ADF represented the Idaho athletes, they needed a local attorney to represent them. And I was in private practice at this time. I had just left Congress. And I represented them with Bruce Skog. I was working in Bruce Skog's law firm. I was off counsel at his law firm, and he and I were the local representatives for these athletes. And so I've been working on this case for a while, and it's one of the main reasons I ran for attorney general, because I could not believe that the state attorney general at the time actually issued an opinion saying that this law was potentially unconstitutional. And the ACLU used that brief, that memo that was written by the Idaho Attorney General, and said that was Exhibit A in all of their filings. So
wow.
This is one of the main reasons I ran for Attorney General. I was driving from my home to the office yesterday morning when the decision came out. And I have to admit it, even if it makes me look bad, that I just got choked up. You know, this is why I ran for this office, is to defend the laws of the state of Idaho, to defend the Constitution. And I was able to take a case that the other attorney general had lost at the several stages and win it at this U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm very proud of that.
So did that, the fact that your predecessor and what he had written about that and his opinion of the law, did that make your task in defending the law more complicated?
Well, it made it difficult for them when they were defending it, because it was hard for them to have credibility in the courts when they had this other, you know, this other opinion makes it very difficult. But when I became attorney general, I rejected that opinion, and I made it clear that the state of Idaho no longer thought that this was potentially unconstitutional.
Okay, so you just sort of negated the prior opinion and moved forward that way.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think the next thing in this whole story is? I talked with Barb yesterday about how this kind of closes a big chapter, but I don't know if the whole story is over yet. So what do you think will happen now? Because we know progressives never stop.
Well, I think Congress is going to try to pass a law on this. I do think, I hope progressives, you know, they look at this issue and they say, we lost this ground, move on to something else. I think you're going to see that states, even some liberal states, are going to have passed some common sense legislation on these issues. And as this opinion said, this doesn't prevent these men who identify as women to, you know, from participating in co-ed sports and, you know, other things that are out there. So I think this will be sort of a footnote in history, and the progressives will move on to fight other fights, and hopefully we don't have to worry about this issue anymore.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador joining us this morning. Thank you for your time, Attorney General. It's always great to talk with you.
Thank you.